Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Well, it is Monday. It's the first Monday of January, but more importantly, it is Black Monday. Welcome to Cofield and Company, ESPN Las Vegas. Willie Ramirez alongside Jeff Parles. We are in today. Cofield is lost somewhere. I don't know. He's in mountain country, but I think he's going to join us at some point during the show. He's with the Running Stumbling Rebels. They're running, I think. I don't know where they're running, but they are playing up in Laramie at Wyoming. So Cofield on the road. He's going to join us in a little bit. Again, Willie Ramirez here at the Findlay Toyota Studios here at ESPN Las Vegas with Jeff Parles and, of course, our boy James, quarterback in the entire show. And, Jeff, well, first of all, how was your weekend, buddy?
It was a fun one. It is also like when the calendar turns from one year to the next, it's always like, oh, like it's the first Sunday of the year. But it's also usually the last Sunday of the NFL season. And it's a good weekend, and boy, it ended with a bang last night in Pittsburgh. My goodness, that fourth quarter might have been the best quarter of the whole NFL season.
Oh, my goodness. What a game. Fantastic. I mean, and here's the thing. To be at Allegiant Stadium and watch what I watched and then go home and be able to watch what I watched was at least it saved the night. I will say that.
You didn't enjoy watching Field Goal Fest 2026?
No, and nothing, and it wasn't exciting until the end. At least they put on a show at the end, of course. It didn't matter, though, because nobody's job was saved, as it was expected. The vibe, we're going to be talking about this throughout the show, but the vibe throughout the press box the entire day was about Pete Carroll getting fired. We had gotten an alert about locker rooms being open, and today, sort of like, you know, the exit interviews with the media. We get it with usually we get it with the Aces with through Zoom. Mm-hmm. You get it with the Golden Knights the day after their last game, and everyone's available. The Aces actually didn't do exit interviews after they won a championship, but the Raiders today had open locker room, but when we got the notice, that was it. No coach, no GM. And it sort of had the writing on the wall that, well, something's up. And you could feel it up in the press box. You kind of knew what was going on. You knew what was taking place. We actually saw Spytek walking through. And then we got an updated alert today that Spytek would be available. I think he was available about an hour ago.
Yep.
And but the news came down this morning. Pete Carroll, one and done, fired after a 3-14 season. The Raiders will look for a new coach for the third straight year.
Well, not a good spot to be in, obviously, where you're going for 3-3, and obviously since everything that happened with Gruden, it's now essentially five years now with starting with that mid-season in 2021. But this was the only move that made sense with the way that this season went along. And it's funny because it started off with a win against the team that ended up getting the 2 seed in the AFC in their building. And it's like, all right, you know what? The Raiders might have been justified just getting an adult in the room, getting a veteran quarterback who may be able to lead them to, all right, you know what? If you go 7-10, 8-9, that's a nice step in the right direction. And obviously everything after week one was a complete mess. Yesterday, look, I know they won, and it's a good thing the Giants won earlier in the day, Willie, because that would have been a disaster.
I think because the Giants won, they said, well, let's try to end on a winning note.
They
were at least able to play. Yeah. So here's the thing. I have to admit this. I will come out and admit this.
Go ahead.
On Saturday, our Westgate show,
mm-hmm.
brought it up, talked about it. I talked about it with our good friend of the show, Miles Simmons, mm-hmm. talked about it throughout the day. I personally was one that wasn't sure that Pete Carroll should be fired.
Okay.
And here was my argument. Okay, here was my argument. My argument was that you brought in this veteran coach. You brought in this guy who has rebuilt USC, rebuilt Seattle. Comes here, which is one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the last decade, even before it got here, right? It struggled through the Derek Carr era. It struggled since it's been here. It's had off-field distractions and issues. Just maybe it's going to take more than 1 year for this guy to rebuild things. And maybe, just maybe, when the writing was on the wall, a little past the midway point, and they knew that it wasn't going anywhere, that maybe he just did a really good job of being competitive in certain games, losing badly in others, looking inept, and the plan all along was to get the number one draft pick. Maybe the tankathon was on early enough to where it just looked at it. That was my thought process, was, can Pete Carroll be this bad, or is he that good in tanking in that, you know, that, because, I mean, this was a team that twice gained, what, less than 100 yards a couple of times? So wow. I'm thinking to myself, is this team really that bad? Pete Carroll that bad? Or is he that good at making it look bad? And he was doing what he was told, or he was doing what they needed to do to get the number one draft pick. So part of that, I was buying into that, maybe giving the guy a benefit of the doubt. As it turned out, that wasn't the case, and he's gone.
Well, I think also, too, and if you just look back, look, as a one-year obit, when it's all said and done for Pete, the he brought in the wrong staff, and I know that the Chip Kelly hiring
I think that was a big part of the downfall of this team,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, and look, Heath, the offensive line was terrible, and his son was the offensive line coach. Like, in the end, it was not only was it just him, it was the staff was not good enough this year. This roster was a lot further off than I think anyone imagined. And when push comes to shove, I think it was the right move. You have Pete was only under a 3-year contract to begin with.
Right.
And I don't think anyone ever imagined that the Raiders would be bad enough to pick number one going into 2026. And this feels like the right time. All right, you know what? Yeah, Pete's had a nice career. He's quite possibly a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done with the championship up in Seattle. But this feels right, where you have an opportunity this franchise hasn't had to pick your rookie quarterback in the NFL draft with no other assets having to be given up. And more than anything else, you want to get an offensive-minded coach in there, or the thing that was floated around it I kind of like is you can get Brian Flores a second shot, pair him up with Brian Daboll, who, look, Daboll is not a head coach, but the man can call plays. Jackson Dart was nowhere near as good in the back end of the season without Daboll than he was at the beginning. We know how good Daboll was in Buffalo. There are, even though it's a small list of good candidates this year, it's a very small list. I would say there's three really good candidates that are realistic. You better find a way to get to one of the three of them. If not, boy, we could be doing this again in a few years yet again.
I was at the gym this morning when the news came down about Stefanski.
Yep.
And I looked at a friend of mine of 40 years. She's like a big sis to me. And I told her, I said, hey, see that TV screen up there at the gym? We were warming up. And I said, see that name up there? I said, Pete Carroll will be fired at some point this morning. And that right there, there's a good chance that's going to be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So it doesn't mean that I think there should – that's who they – I honestly, at this point, with this organization, I'm not going to say who they should go get, because I was on board with Pete Carroll when they hired him. I was like, hey, this is it. This is the one. He's going to be here for 4 or 5 years. He's going to rebuild it. He'll hand it off. Boom, it's done. So I was dead wrong. So who should be the right guy? I have no clue, obviously. That's why I'm sitting behind the mic and don't have a headset on on the sidelines. Bottom line is, they will be searching for a new coach for the third straight year. Again, Pete Carroll fired. We're going to be discussing this all day today. We got Cofield coming in mid-show from Laramie. We have Jesse Merrick on later. We have our guy Steve Kim coming on. So big discussion, obviously, will be about Pete Carroll. We're going to go over it. We're also going to talk about the fact that Black Monday, there have been 4 firings. There are 6 openings. So when we come back, we're going to talk about league-wide spectrum. Again, Willie Ramirez, Jeff Parles, Cofield & Company. We're kicking it off on a Monday. Black Monday, Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, welcome back to Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas. Willie Ramirez and Jeff Parles. We are in the Finley Toyota Studios. on a Black Monday, as they call it. Four firings, six head coaching openings in the NFL, Jeff, including the Raiders. Your take just in general, because I know you had some thoughts in terms of there's a couple maybe that should come down.
So here are the six that are open. Of course, the Titans and the Giants fired. Callahan got fired basically in October. Dable not far behind him. Raheem Morris was the first one, actually didn't even make it through Sunday Night Football yesterday. Atlanta with a full house clean, which I think Arthur Blank is still very aggravated that he didn't hire Bill Belichick 2 years ago. I don't know if he's right on that, but sure seems to be the reasoning behind that. You mentioned Stefanski in the open. Cleveland's open. Obviously, the Raiders are open with Pete Carroll getting fired this morning. And then Jonathan Gannon got fired in Arizona, which was a little bit surprising based off all the reporting. Pretty much said that he was safe, but, I mean, they 3-14. Even though they had an extraordinarily difficult schedule, they weren't particularly competitive. So I get it. And then, look, we have question marks with some other ones. Sure seems like Aaron Glenn's going to survive in New York with the Jets, which to me is flabbergasting, but Woody Johnson is probably the worst owner in the NFL at this point, so anything he does will defy logic. Big questions in Baltimore. Me and James were talking about this before the show. Big questions about what will Baltimore do with John Harbaugh now that they missed the playoffs with as large of expectations as I can remember going into a year in this Lamar Jackson era. I know Jackson was dinged up, missed a bunch of games this year, but you had Pittsburgh without DK Metcalf last night. I don't care that Kyle Hamilton got hurt midstream. It's a game you can't lose. And I know the kicker missed a kick at the end, but still, it shouldn't have come down to Tyler Loop having to make a kick, and it did last night. And in Miami, which kind of seemingly getting forgotten in this mix, right, Willie, where they fire Chris Greer midseason. They play a little bit better for a while. They get smashed in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago. They go to the rookie Ewers the last 3 weeks. Smashed by Cincy. They beat Tampa. They get smashed by New England yesterday. Oh, and Mike McDaniel seems to be fine with no playoff wins. And they seem to be blaming that whole mess on Tua Tagovailoa, which, you know what, they might be onto something there. But McDaniel's going to have to win pretty quickly. But Harbaugh's really the name I'm going to be looking at, because that really impacts how this whole offseason goes for me. Because if Baltimore becomes available, that immediately becomes the best job available, because you have Lamar Jackson and you have a culture that is already pretty darn good down there. And I would imagine that impacts at least one or two of the other jobs out there, because I'd imagine Harbaugh would probably go to the front of the list in New York if he were available right now. So interesting to see. Really none of these six jobs are overly enticing to me, Willie. I wonder if you have a different opinion than me on that.
I don't agree that Harbaugh, I don't think that he deserves to get fired.
Okay.
And here's why. The kid makes the kick last night. They win the AFC North. Let's say with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and they shore things up, they have a little bit of savvy, they have some experience. Maybe they don't go far, maybe they do regardless. Let's say they win one game and then they're out.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are on the same side as your storyline, your talk, guess what? They were saying, I don't know, talking about you, but people were saying the end of the Mike Tomlin era. It's finally end, right?
Yeah.
In my era, I've seen Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher,
and Tomlin.
Those are the only three coaches that I know of the Pittsburgh Steelers of my lifetime. Okay.
Yeah.
If he would have lost, everyone would have said he needs to be fired. But they're in the playoffs. It's like, oh, look what he did yet again. Another winning season, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh. They win, they're in the playoffs. One kick, missed kick by a rookie who you got to be heartbroken for, and they're not in the playoffs. If they were in, a lot of people, maybe not yours, but a lot of people's story would be different. They'd be singing a different tune that he shouldn't go. So they were that close. And considering where they came from the start of the season, considering that Lamar Jackson was out, they came right back. They were on the brink of winning the AFC North. I just don't think that you do that just yet with him.
The Baltimore Sun article from a few weeks ago, though, Willie, that's what kind of alarms me with everything that's going on down there. Because Biscotti loves John Harbaugh. We know that. The owner of the Ravens. So I just wonder if, like, if and who knows? Maybe it's just we don't know how that relationship really is between Harbaugh and Lamar. We don't know. But if that relationship has soured, they do have a decision to make this offseason of, hey, look, Lamar's not getting any younger. He's a guy who really needs his legs in order to be at his best. We saw it last night. That was the week one and week 18. Those are the two best games that Lamar Jackson played all year long.
Yeah.
Because they were the two games he was probably the healthiest in the whole year.
And Derrick Henry finally came around.
Yeah, and Henry was awesome in week 17. He was awesome last night. It just, it's a very uncomfortable offseason for them in Baltimore. And look, I don't know what the right decision is here. That's the other tricky thing.
The decision is going to be whether how they're going to shore up that defense, now, in my opinion.
No, because, I would have fired Zach Gore after last year.
That's so. Always been something with Baltimore that's they're been their strength, is their defense. Yeah. Okay, and we got Baltimore guy James shaking his head over there in approval. All right, so let's go down the list.
Yep.
You posed a question. I was going to put it out there anyway, but you actually had already had it when you sent it over. Jeff's rankings, let me hear in order. Let's run through it here before our next break. Your rankings. And by the way, don't go anywhere because we're giving away two tickets to an upcoming Golden Knights game within a week here. So stick around. All right. So you're
of the six that are open
of the
right
six
now,
in order.
So I have Atlanta at number one because I believe in Michael Penix. And there is an injury concern with him. He didn't make it through this year. But that roster has a lot of talent on it. Like Bijan Robinson is awesome. Drake London has really become a high-end wide receiver in this league. They have a good enough offensive line, and they have talent on defense. And quite frankly, they should have won a division this year. If they just beat the Jets at the end of November, they would have won a division at 9-8. And I think there is a lot of potential with that roster, and you play in an awful division. So Atlanta to me is number one. And then the Raiders, I have two. The Titans, I have three. The Giants, I have four. And the Cardinals are five. All of those jobs are pretty similar to me. The reason I have the Raiders at the top is because whoever comes in as the next head coach is really going to be able to put their stamp on how they want to build out this roster with Brady and Spytek in the front office. And you have the number one overall pick, which is always a great asset to have. Three, I have Tennessee over the Giants because I trust Cam Ward long-term more than I trust Jackson Dart. Those jobs are pretty similar. It's pretty amazing that the Giants' ownership is as mediocre as it is at this point. I can't believe they're keeping Joe Shane around. I don't think he deserves to be there, but hey, it's not my decision. Arizona at five, they might not even be able to get a quarterback in this draft. So they're at five, and then Cleveland by margin is the worst of the jobs because even though they have had a great rookie class this year, Schlesinger and probably going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Judkins, while he was healthy, was really good. And look, and I don't think Shadour is a starter in this league, but you got a guy who, if your starter gets hurt, you know he's going to be able to play and you can be competitive. But that division's going to get better. I mean, they had a down year as a whole, that division, and they're the Browns. So they're number six. So Falcons, Raiders, Titans, Giants, Cardinals, Browns, with two through five being very similar to me.
All right, my number one pick is the New York Giants.
Okay.
I am a believer in when Cam Scataboo was healthy, Jackson Dart didn't need to be the big-time quarterback. And I think when you have a balanced offense, as we saw it, even though the team didn't break off and become a contender, it showed promise. And as you mentioned, Daboll didn't even make it to, you know, I mean, but when they get somebody in there, when you look at the potential, and if you can get somebody in there that can take advantage and Scataboo becomes healthy and shore up that defense a little bit, I think that the Giants in a big-time market, you're in New York, right? We always talk about it's New Jersey, but it's the New York Giants. It's the metropolis, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can attract a big name there. And who knows? Who knows, Jeff? There's a guy who we're going to talk about that now is the new sack career leader. There's a guy who just remodeled his house with his wife out in Henderson that may be trade bait to get some picks here in Las Vegas. I could see Max Crosby or Miles Garrett going to New York to help that defense out in a trade, depending on who they bring in. I think the Giants are the number one. It could be the number one coaching landing spot. I'm number two for all the reasons you laid out with the Falcons. All the reasons you laid out. I love Penix. Bijan, obviously, I mean, he could be an MVP candidate. The guy's amazing. So I like the Falcons. If the Cardinals move on from Kyler Murray, you're realistically starting over because new coach, new quarterback. I think it's enticing just for the climate, the area. I am a believer of if they can get someone in that believes in Shedeur Sanders and works with him, because that was always the big knock on Stefanski the whole year was, well, he's not even giving him a chance, right? There was always like, read into the press conferences what he's saying. Does he even think that Shedeur should be playing? So I have the Browns fourth if they can get someone in there and develop him a little bit. I have the Titans. I've been covering the Raiders since they got here. Not as full-time as our good guy, as our number one insider, Adam Hill, right, of the company. But I've been out there since they arrived here in Las Vegas. You know, this is this year has been the least amount of times I've been to the facility. But this organization on and off the field needs to get its act together. It's no knock on Mark Davis, but for some reason, until they clean house, start over, start from scratch, and get right now, I'd be like, what is going on? From Gruden to Bisaccia. I mean, you name the guy. Look at what's taken place since they got here. Yeah. This is a very toxic organization right now that needs to clean up its act. So my order is Giants, Falcons, Cardinals, Browns, Titans, Raiders in terms of the enticing places to land. Vegas is a great spot. You got a beautiful stadium. And you got an owner who's one of the best professional sports owners in the business. Look what he's done with the Aces. But it's the rest of the organization down that needs to come together and fix the toxicity, in my opinion, in terms of the Raiders. So there's my order. We are going to be joined by Steve Colfield in a little bit here in a couple of minutes. But right now, we are taking caller number 7, pair of tickets, January 10th at T-Mobile Arena. The Golden Knights are back home against the St. Louis Blues. It's a rematch because they just went to St. Louis and lost. Pair of tickets to see VGK on January 10th. Caller 7, when we come back, Colfield joins us from Laramie.
Now back to Colfield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we are back on a Monday, Black Monday, as we are appropriately calling it and as it's known. We are coming to you live from the Finley Toyota Studios, ESPN Las Vegas, Colfield and Company, Willie Ramirez, alongside Jeff Parles, and James, quarterback in the show. So while we wait to hear from Colfield, who again is up in Laramie with the UNLV Running Rebels, I guess the next question is, do we wait and see? Does it matter who they get? But at this point, we know they're getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Raiders take Fernando Mendoza? Do they take Dante Moore? I was posed a question by somebody. Do they move on from the number one pick in a proposal that was thrown down, which I think is absolutely no-no, but GM Jeff Parles, what are you doing?
Oh, that's a heck of a title there. I'm not even able to be the GM of my own house here, Willie. Well, but you know, I'll just say this. I think it's a slam dunk and you take Fernando Mendoza. I think, first off, the one caveat with all this is, even though Mendoza's awesome and has won the Heisman and Indiana might go 16-0 and win the college football championship with him at the helm and Kurt Cignetti, next year's the year that I have all the quarterbacks. Like Arch Manning's going to be out, and there's going to be other QBs.
Well, they can't tank all over again,
but you can't do it again. You can't do it again.
I don't think anybody could pull off what the Raiders pulled off this season.
A double tank would be pretty impressive. Only the Urban Meyer era Jaguars are able to do that. But, you know, I would take Mendoza. I wouldn't hesitate. I know that there's going to be a lot of people that push the Dante Moore narrative over the next few months. And Dante Moore is extraordinarily talented. And there's no arguing that. But Mendoza has now been a high-end quarterback in two spots. He was excellent at Cal, under the radar. Obviously, with Cal football, we know completely under the radar at this point. And then he went to Indiana, which normally be under the radar, but won the Heisman Trophy, number one team in the country, favorite to win a national championship, alive in the semifinal. And he's played in two completely different offenses. He's played for, you cannot get much more different than Justin Wilcox and Kirk Cignetti as head coaches, right? Can't get much more different than that. I think he's a very cerebral quarterback. He's very cerebral off the field as well. I think even though some people may think he's a little bit of a interesting cat, to put it politely, that doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. I think he's just an extraordinarily smart kid. I think he's a great quarterback, and I think the Raiders will be lucky to have him. That would be the pick at number one. I would not hesitate.
My question is, did he do what he did because of where he went and who he played for? And does it depend on who comes in under Tom Brady?
So the head coach is definitely going to play a role, obviously, because
right.
I'll just bring up who my three names would be, and this is where hopefully the search would start and end for the Raiders. You mentioned Kevin Stefanski before. I think we're going to hear Stefanski's name a lot here. We're going to hear it a lot with the Giants.
I think he's already.
You think he's going to New York or?
No, I think he's already been scheduled to Mark Davis's jet.
Good,
for
good.
An interview.
Like, he should be. That should be your number one call, because I think part of the reason he didn't have as much success in Cleveland is because of that organization. And he got saddled with Deshaun Watson also. And, I mean, made the playoffs with Joe Flacco. And, look, Baker's a good quarterback, but we didn't know that at the time when they made the playoffs in 2020. So Stefanski would be my first call. Brian Flores would be my second call. You better get the offensive coordinator hire right. But Brian Flores has waited long enough to get a second job. He should be interviewed. And that's already been rumbling around a little bit. Mike Florio said we could see the Bryans, Flores, and Dable put together, Flores head coach, Dable OC. And then the last one's Clint Kubiak up in Seattle, who has just done a magnificent job with that Seahawk offense this year. That would be the three names. I would hope the search begins and ends with those three names. Whoever the head coach is would play a big role in whoever the number one pick is. But based off of the names I said, I think Kubiak would be the only one where there's a little bit of a question. Would it be Moore or would it be Mendoza? I would imagine that a Flores-Dable combination would lead us to Mendoza here, and I would imagine Stefanski would be very happy to have Fernando Mendoza. So, Coach
okay, I'm
Matters.
I'm going to throw two names at you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're dead set on an offensive-minded guy.
If it's Flores with the right OC, that is the one defensive guy that I would be – and Jesse Minter also, but I think Minter is going to be in the mix for
so
other
you're out
jobs.
On Robert Saleh.
I don't think it's the right move, because this job has a lot of parallels to the Jet job that he, even though it very well may have been the Jet organization, there are a lot of parallels.
Dysfunction.
There are a lot of parallels with those two jobs.
Is Mike McCarthy just like hiring Pete Carroll?
You know, Mike McCarthy, James and I were talking about McCarthy before the show a little bit. I think McCarthy is going to get a job in this cycle. But if I'm the Raiders, I would much rather go the route of, if I'm going to go offense first, I'd rather take the shot on Kubiak, who's never been a head coach. Obviously, look, Gary was a pretty good head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach, right? Like, got the right bloodlines. Obviously, Shanahan has been, obviously that doesn't always work, but Kyle Shanahan has been pretty darn good too. But yeah, McCarthy's the most polarizing candidate this whole cycle, because I do think he's going to get a head coaching job, and I think it's going to be totally dependent on which job he gets to see how happy people are with hiring Mike McCarthy. I would say to McCarthy probably be fourth on my list past those top three for me. There's a little bit of a gap.
All right, so this was somebody put this out.
Yeah.
And our good buddy Steve Cofield threw this in the rundown.
Yeah.
Mock trade. The Browns receive the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
The Raiders get the Browns' first-round pick, which is number six, the second-round pick, Shedeur Sanders, the 27 and 28 first-round pick.
I would do it if you didn't throw Shedeur in there. I'd do it just for the picks. If that was offered, I don't think Cleveland would offer that, personally. But, again, it all depends on if you fall in love with the quarterback in this draft, you have to.
You're anti-Shedeur.
For here, I don't think it would work. But, again,
How could you say that it's not going to work when there's no coach?
Well, I was just about to finish what I was going to say, though.
Stefanski.
Keep in mind, yes. The number one candidate is Kevin Stefanski.
Right, exactly.
You can't do it. Like, there's
wouldn't
no
that
way.
Be something? Oh, by the way, Kev, listen. I know you're putting your house up for sale. When you take the flight, you don't mind, but you're going to share it with Shador because we're about to make a trade. So you guys are going to fly together. You know him, right? You know Shador. Yeah, that would be interesting, but I don't like the trade either, and it's not because I don't like Shador. I just think the Raiders, it's going to be hard for them. I mean, it's been how long since they ever – I don't think they've ever gotten the number one overall pick, or I think it's one time, if I'm not mistaken. But the fact of the matter is this is an opportunity for them to, like I said, thrive there. And if they finally – say, you know what, Max, you deserve better. We appreciate your loyalty, but if they move on from Max Crosby, I think he's worth two number ones. I actually think that they could get two number ones and an offensive lineman. They need to shore up the offensive line. So realistically, there's no doubt in my mind. Age, knees, Max Crosby is worth two. He was playing – think about how good he was playing with a bum knee. He's getting it cleaned up. Basically, he's getting it scoped. He's getting a meniscus cleanup. I had a meniscus cleanup. And I mean, 4 weeks later, I was in the squat rack. And 6 weeks later, I was squatting two and a quarter against my surgeon's wishes. But I mean, Max, I'm 57 years old. Max Crosby is an all-pro NFL lineman. He'll be, I think, so he's worth two first-round picks. So point is, you can't trade away the first overall pick. You just can't do it.
Well, and also too, by the way, the only other time Raiders had the first overall pick didn't work. Jamarcus Russell.
That's it. So I knew there was one time.
That was the only other time that they had it. 07. Obviously, Jamarcus Russell is one of the biggest busts in NFL history,
if not the biggest.
Yeah. So yeah, I would probably say he is the biggest. But you know, it's interesting because like I think they should trade Crosby, and it depends. It depends on which organization. Like, if you're Chicago, you just saw Michael Parsons go to Green Bay. They gave up all that. I wonder if the Bears would be willing to give up two ones. I think Chicago would be willing to give up their one this year and then maybe multiple twos instead. I don't know if they would be willing to do it. It would be interesting to see what other competing, high-end competing teams, like, does a Buffalo want to get in on Max Crosby? Does do the Ravens, if they want to retool, they have no pass rush. Do they want to work and potentially trade for Crosby? There's a lot of options there if they want to deal.
A lot of options, and the guy that's going to be pulling the strings, along with Tom Brady, obviously, is John Spytek. He had his press conference at 2 o'clock. We're going to go over what he said when we come back. Cofield & Company on Black Monday.
Now back to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we are back for Black Monday, Cofield & Company here at the Finley Toyota Studios. Willie Ramirez, along with Jeff Parles, but I believe that we have been joined by the man, the myth, the legend. He settled it in Laramie, Steven.
Yes?
There he is. Boy, you're missing all the excitement. The day you decide to leave is Pete Carroll with you? Did you bring him with you?
Let's not be mean to Pete. Come on now.
I'm not even being mean with you. I'm being mean to him. I you know what? Saturday, I did the Westgate show for JVT on Saturday, and Miles had to put me in my place. I actually was like, hey, maybe Pete actually knows what he's been doing for the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. Because can the Raiders be really that bad, or is he really that good at making it look like they're that bad to get the number one pick? So I was actually arguing for the guy.
Yeah, I think the funny thing, though, is that they kind of lucked into being as bad as they were. And Pete, I think, also jumped on board like the last three games, but they were really playing a dangerous game, don't you guys think, for a long time with, you know, Pete trying to play the older guys and trying to win and, you know, asking the organization to sign Tyler Lockett. So finally down the stretch, they got it. Again, I still don't understand why Cam Miller wasn't playing like the last three games, but, you know, they wound up losing out except for the last one. Didn't matter by then because the Giants kept winning. But, I mean, in the end, it's embarrassing for Pete. It's not a great way to end his career. It's not great on the resume, but he does get another lump sum of cash, or maybe not a lump sum, but he's going to get it paid out here over the next couple of years, just like a lot of people who are still former coaches who are still on the docket with MD and his payroll with the Raiders.
Yeah, so you got Gruden's on the payroll, and now Carroll's on the payroll.
And AP's still there,
too. And AP's still on the payroll, right?
Yeah, probably Josh McDaniels still.
Well, no, wouldn't that end once he got a job?
I think it's usually offset language where they get money. They still get the, you know, the whatever the difference is between the monies.
Gotcha. Well, John Spytek spoke about going on 2 hours ago. We rolled the dice here. But we saw our good buddy Jared broke things down, and we have some stuff in the hopper. So we're going to hear what he has to say, because Spytek said, first of all, I want to run the sound on the new coach will hire the staff. So it sounds to me like maybe they're not done. Let's hear what Spytek said about this.
I want to turn that over to the coach. I mean, we're going to have a lot of great conversations about who, why, where. There's going to be a lot of great football conversations. But my belief has always been, you know, you give a lot of the responsibility to the head coach to hire the staff that he wants to hire. It's who reports to him and who he works with every day.
So it sounds as if, obviously, someone's going to come in. He's going to want his guys. It's a matter of who's going to go, who's staying. Patrick Graham's made it through a couple of regimes. Who's out the door?
Well, that's a functional organization. Let's their coach put their staff together, right?
Yeah, like, let's hope.
So that's a little bit.
But
of
as
a
we
staff.
Said earlier, this has been a dysfunctional.
Sure,
organization,
but again, I, and Cofield, I'm curious your thoughts on this too. Like, Tom Brady's involvement in all of this is really what I'm most curious with, because he was mentioned. I mean, it was the third name mentioned in the press release this morning, with Spytek and obviously Pete's name being the only other names that were mentioned in it. But the whole Brady angle of this is really the most fascinating thing of what this search ends up being.
And yet I hate talking about Brady's involvement, because we need the historical information to figure out, was he integral in putting this last regime
right
together? Or is this now just a fresh start? I know Mike Florio has been all over this, like, hey, now it's go time for Tom Brady. Was it go time already? And they botched it the first time around. I mean, clearly they had some mismatched parts, and Pete Carroll didn't get what the organization was looking for, what John Spytek was looking for. I think they wanted to play younger guys a lot earlier. And then the other mismatch was, did Pete ever want to run the style that Chip Kelly wanted to run? Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, yeah, the first thing to get under control here is, who's running the organization? Who does everyone answer to? Is it Mark Davis? Is he going to pull back from football operations? Is it Tom Brady? Is it John Spytek? Is it Tom Brady's mouth on the ground on a regular basis, Jim Gray? how much power is the new coach going to have? Is this going to be a Brady creation? I don't know if you guys have, did you guys already go through your, I saw you had a list of, in the rundown, of most attractive jobs.
Yeah.
Did you guys go through a list of maybe the top candidates you'd like to see? Like, who do you guys favor? Because I've already seen a combo that I think would be dynamite, but it's a little tough to talk about without knowing who's really in control.
So I had my top three was Stefanski was one, and then I think the combo you're bringing up, I had Brian Flores paired with Brian Daboll being number two, and then Clint Kubiak was my third, Cofield. Those were the three.
What do you think, Willie?
I like Kevin Stefanski. I was telling Jeff earlier, I was at the gym early this morning when the Browns made the announcement, and I told a friend of mine, I was like, see that name right there? In about 4 hours, this is going to happen here in Vegas. The Raiders are going to fight. That name's going to surface and should be the top candidate. So I think Stefanski, the thing is what we've been saying, there's so many parallels to these organizations that are looking for coaches right now, that he'd be going from one dysfunctional franchise to another. I just don't know how, you know, I mean, the Browns with the quarterback situation over decades, what are they on, their 75th starting quarterback in the last, you know, however many years, who knows? But would it be better here with the number one overall pick? I still think Stefanski would be good. I asked Jeff if he had a problem with the defensive mind and Robert Saleh, guy who is coach of your team and now over with San Francisco. And then one of the names that was being brought up yesterday in the press box, I just don't know if you're doing a parallel from Pete Carroll to another veteran, and whether it's worth a shot with Mike McCarthy, and all of a sudden you're retreading with a guy who's maybe past his time. But I like Stefanski more than anything.
So I don't like certain guys you mentioned for some different reasons. One, I know he's not Seattle through and through, but I don't want anyone Seattle connected. So I don't think they can go with Clint Kubiak, even though he seems to be a guy who's on the rise and he is one of the, you know, offensive minds who's a hot name right now. I also don't think you can hire a head coach fresh off being fired. I think there's optics issues there. Let Kevin Stefanski go somewhere else. As far as Robert Saleh, while I think he did a decent job with the Jets, I thought he kind of caved under organizational pressure. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a strong figure with the Jets, I don't know that that's going to work with the Raiders.
Not with Tom Brady.
Now I think if the ties are legit, if Brady really can pull together some Belichick guys, but not like true Belichick guys like Josh McDaniels or Joe Judge or that jackass who runs the defense for Ohio State, the slovenly one.
Patricia.
What's his name? The fat guy
Matt
with the
Patricia.
Pencil. Yeah, he's not. By the way, he's not fat anymore because I think he got on the Wegovy, so he's singing that song. No, I think the combination, if Dable would do it, if Dable doesn't want to be a head coach somewhere, doesn't want to sit out and do TV, to me, Flores has served his time. I think Flores and Dable together would be freaking awesome. And I think ulterior motive, aside from getting a great defensive mind, I think a guy who was going to be a great head coach until the meddling of the Miami organization screwed everything up, I think getting Brian Flores in also serves the other ulterior motive. This is a guy who's gone at the NFL and basically told Roger Goodell, go F yourself.
He's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder.
Is there anything more that Mark Davis would like, since Mark Davis has been bounced around by Roger Goodell and the other owners, than to hire a guy who's kind of a pariah in Brian Flores? Not the only reason to do it, but, man, that would be a good combination, wouldn't it? That actually, like, for the first time with all of these lists, that seems realistic, and it gets me excited.
When I saw that story this morning, And then Jeff saw it too. Yeah. That Florio wrote. I mean, it's certainly intriguing. And like you said, if they could tie it together, my biggest concern, just in general, is Mark Davis tried to go down this road before in terms of turning this into Patriots West. But I guess if Tom Brady's pulling the strings, maybe it's different. Do you have to be careful in that it didn't work? I think the biggest problem was at Josh McDaniels, which we talked about at length, was how he was such a control freak, and once he got in, though, his ego, you know, was larger than the room, and he forgot that the players are the ones that take the field. So it's an interesting and it's a very unique dynamic, and it all centers around Tom Brady. And I think that's the key point here.
Yeah, well, look, I would say more than anything else, just going back to what you said, Cofield, that Flores and Dable together, like pairing the defensive mind with the right offensive mind, is so critical in this, especially when you have the first overall pick. And Willie, you asked this question earlier. It's going to depend on who the offensive mind likes with who ends up being the first overall pick in the draft.
All right, first hour in the books, Cofield and Company. When we come back, we got that big 4 at 4.